Heavenly Father, take us back to when we first turned to you in repentance from our sins and put our faith and trust in your Son, our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ. Remind us, O God, of the joy and the conviction that attended that moment. And then, Lord, open our eyes to your holy word, where you have taught us what's in store for us now. A life, and a life more abundantly, as your adopted children forever. Nothing can separate us from your love. And as your children, through whom you mean to bear witness to yourself and to make us participants in the great work of redemption that's ongoing. And so, Father, speak to us now through your servant, through your word, and by the power of your Spirit, grant that we will understand what you're saying to us and will obey it. And leave nothing of the blessings purchased for us on the table, but know the fullness of what it means to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. It's in his name we pray and for his sake. Amen.
Well, good morning. If I want to introduce myself, so just for y'all that may not know me, I'm Jack Crumpton. I'm the youth minister here at Smoke Rise Baptist Church. I have been attending Smoke Rise for 23 years, which is how old I am, so from birth. But I had the opportunity to be able to just do ministry here as well as grow up here. And I do want to say something before I get started, before I say thank you to everybody that was involved. This is a surreal moment for me. And we've talked about this a lot. All the hands that I've had to go through to get to this point, all the different people who God has used to pour into my life and to guide me, and so that God can mold me into who I am. And I can't tell the church how thankful I am for all that it's done. The people that are here, the church itself, and the people that aren't here. I'm so grateful. But I want to tell you, this weekend was pretty amazing. It was one of the best weekends that I've had at ED now, and I've participated for 8 years. I watched a group of 12 through 18-year-olds be equipped to do the work of the kingdom, to learn how to pursue God. And I tell you, I am so proud of each and every one of these students that's over here. Really, we started out the weekend, and I know this may not be a good way to judge it, but we started out the weekend during worship, and it was very stiff. Everybody was, you know, kind of nervous. But by the time we got to last night, we worshiped. We got done worshiping, and we kept worshiping, okay? It was a very encouraging sight to see, you know, somewhere around 150 students together from across the community worshiping and praising God. And it is an encouragement to me to just see that they have the tools now to go and expand the kingdom. So, if you can't tell, I'm pretty tired. I'm pretty wore out. I know they're tired and wore out. So, we're all running off of caffeine and prayers. Ain't that right, boys? Yep, it is. So, I had originally, when Jason had left, you know, I knew that D-Now was coming up, but I talked to one of the youth ministers, and he was like, "We don't have anything ready for it." And that was in October. So needless to say, it was a crunch to get everything together that we needed to get together to make DNOW happen. And especially on my end, you know, we had to get host homes together. We had to get, you know, food services ready. We had to get, you know, leaders, and all of that was a process. So I'm going to name a couple of people's names. If y'all just stand up, and I want to recognize y'all. So first off, Braden Hodges, Rachel Greer, and Brenna Champion. Y'all stand up for me. So these are my youth leaders. They did an amazing job at just working with these students, helping them to learn how to pursue God. I can't thank y'all enough for what y'all have done. It is a huge service to me just to know that there are some young adults that really want to help take care of these guys and girls. So thank you. Courtney, Tara, and Mitzi, y'all stand up for me. So Courtney and Tara, they were my host homes, and Mitzi was kind of like my, co-host home with Tara. They offered up their homes for the weekend, their peace and quiet, especially Courtney, to house these students. And I can't thank y'all enough. The food service ladies, would y'all stand up? Any y'all in here? No? What? Yes. So they fed our students. I can't thank Ms. Aunt Vicky enough for, you know, helping me get the food together. Chrislyn and Vion, they helped with transportation and getting us around. And two people that I can't say this enough. I cannot thank enough. Nancy Vines and Alyssa Stewart. Nancy Vines and Alyssa Stewart. Nancy, she was my brain, okay? She was my brain because I have never done anything like this, and it was intimidating. But she has worked with different youth pastors that have been here in the past and worked through this stuff with them. And I can't thank you enough, Nancy, the 1,000 phone calls that we have between each other to just get everything together. And Alyssa, she handled, she made the design for the t-shirts, and that was pretty awesome. But she also had to do a lot of last-minute stuff for me to make sure that we had, like, schedules and stuff like that together. I can't thank all of you enough. And guys, I just want y'all to realize all these people were helping y'all. All these people, they did this for y'all. They did this for y'all so that y'all could have this weekend. And I don't want y'all to forget that there are people that do care about you. There are people that have, you know, their focus on not only furthering the kingdom, but specifically on furthering y'all and where y'all are at. So, and I'm going to go ahead and I'm just going to say, I had a completely different message for today. Completely different. But after last night, I decided that I would go back and we would go over something else. So, this weekend we talked about the pursuit of God. The main verse being Micah. I'll pull up my notes. The main piece of passage being Micah, my brain. So, do y'all remember the three? Can y'all say them for me? Love kindness, do justice, and what? Walk humbly. So, what was that? Say it louder. Do justice. Okay. I'm not even going to try. All right. So, Micah 6:8. Says, mankind, he has told each of you what is good and what is the Lord requires of you, to act justly, to love faithfulness, and to walk humbly with your God. We broke that up over the weekend in talking about, you know, in following God, we have to do what is right. To follow God, we have to love faithfulness. To follow God, we have to walk humbly and without pride. And in order to do all of these things, this was something that I had thought about for a long time in the weeks leading up to it. We need to know who we are to be able to pursue God. Okay? What do I mean by that? Okay? This is what I mean by it. So, everybody in here has an identity, right? Now, where you place that identity, everybody has kind of a different way they place their identity. I might place my identity as a mechanic, because I'm a mechanic. So I might say, oh, well, I'm a mechanic. Or I might identify as an athlete. Or I might identify as a teacher. There's different things that you can identify as. And if I were to ask a group of people, a bunch of people would say a bunch of different things. And then you would have a select group of people that would say, well, I identify as what God says I am. That's what a group of people would say. And I've heard this from students. I've heard this from different adults. And my question to that is, well, how has that changed who you are? Because here's the thing. We can say that we believe that we are who God tells us that we are. But does that mean it changes how we go about our life? No, it doesn't. Because God can tell me that I don't have a spirit of fear. But when I was in high school, I would say something like that. But I still walk around with a lot of fear. God tells us that we are made in His image, and that we are made to be just like Him, and He has made us that way for a purpose. But see, I had a lot of body image issues when I was in high school. I'm kind of a plus size guy. I had a lot of issues with that when I was in high school. And so, if I don't have a good perception of who God is and what He says about me, then it doesn't matter. Because if God isn't, if I don't view God as who He is, then it doesn't matter. If I don't understand that. So, we're going to be reading out of Matthew chapter 16. We're going to start at verse 13. And we're going to be reading about when Jesus had to pass through Caesarea Philippi. Now, I don't know if y'all know this, but Caesarea Philippi was a center of worshiping pagan gods. And, you know, it was literally known as the gates of hell. Now, why would Jesus want to go through there? Some say it was the quickest path. I don't think it was. Was it the quickest path to where He was going? I can't remember. But they were coming through there, and there's this little scene in which Jesus asks a question. And it's a very interesting question. It's super, super, super interesting, because if we were asked the same question, we would probably respond the way the rest of the disciples did, other than Peter. I know I probably would. And so, Matthew chapter 16, verse 13, it says, when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, He asked the disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, still others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. But you," He asked them, "Who do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And Jesus responded, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church of the kingdom of and the gates of Hades will not overpower it. I'll give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will have been bound in heaven, and whatever you lose on earth will have been loosed in heaven." Then he gave the disciples orders to tell no one that he was the Messiah. So something really big happens here. First off, Jesus asks, "Who does everybody else say that I am?" Okay. And they give him all these different answers, right? They say that he's this. They say that he's that. And they say that he's this. But here's the thing. If I ask you, we had the question up there just a second ago, who is God to you? You want to bring it back up. Who is God to you? Okay? If I ask you that question, I am not asking you what everybody else said that God is. Okay? What I mean by that, I'm not asking you what Jimmy said God is. I'm not asking you what Courtney said God is. I'm not asking you what Clay Tankersley said God is. I'm asking you who God is, okay? I'm asking you who God is. And where do we find that answer? Well, we find it in the truth as we continue to go on. "But you," he asked him, "who do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And Jesus responds, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you." So this was, Peter answers the question, and this is not an answer from Peter. This is an answer that was given to him through the Spirit. Now, here's the thing. We can be told by our society today 10 million different things about who God is. There's false teachers out there, right? There are people out there who really don't know, but they've got big platforms. And if you do not go and see who God is in the truth, then you will not know who God is. Your perception of him will be messed up, I promise you. So, what happens right here, if we continue to read, when Jesus says, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father in heaven, and I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth will have been bound in heaven, and whatever you lose on earth will have been loosed in heaven." So, that right there is super important, because Peter identifies who Jesus is. He realizes who Jesus is. And then Jesus gives Peter his identity. Jesus hands it to him, right? And not only does he hand him his identity, but he also, he gives Peter his purpose. Now, I know about y'all. I don't know about y'all, but when I was y'all's age, I didn't know what my purpose was. I had no idea. I was stuck between being a diesel mechanic and being a minister of some kind, and I just could not figure it out. I love working with my hands. That's why I do it every day. It's also a good way to provide for my family. But I also love Jesus. And I also want to be able to tell other people about the gospel and help disciple people. And I know that when I was at that point, I had no idea, because I didn't know what my purpose was, because I didn't know my identity. I had no idea what my identity was. And this is super important for y'all today, because our world right now Okay? In our world right now, y'all are having the hardest time ever finding that identity. You know why? The progression of this technology right here. You got so many things at your fingertips. You got so many people telling you different things to do. Our culture has decided that it's no longer about a certain truth. It's about my truth. That it, and that sounds goofy, but like people will be like, and I've heard it so many times on like different, you know, discussions between pastors or like different political figures. They'll be like, well, that may be your truth, but that ain't my truth. Okay? Look, I don't know about you, but there's only one truth. Okay? Mark, I'm going to pick on you. If Mark goes and steals a car, right, and somebody else says that he didn't, well, there's only one truth, right? He either did or he didn't do it. But here's the thing. How do we know what the truth is? The Bible. We know the Bible tells us everything that we need to know about God, about Jesus, about the Holy Spirit. And here's the thing. You may think that this is insignificant. Okay? Y'all are all young. You may think that this is insignificant. But the thing is, look at Peter. Okay? What did Jesus say right here? On this rock I will build my church. That's a big deal. You know why? Because where are you at right now? Your church. That was thousands of years ago. That effect, Peter finding his identity and his purpose, still affects our world today. Because if that instance had not happened, we may not have church, or it may have been through someone else. So, there's another thing that I kind of want to look at, and it's, you may think that you're not worthy of that. You're not worthy of finding your identity. I had a conversation, this is about 2 years ago, with a middle schooler, and she said, why would God give me an identity if I'm not worthy of having it? And I was like, you're a middle schooler. Why are you thinking like this? It makes no sense. And here's the thing. There are instances all through the Bible of where people had identity crises. I'll say that as a short term. And God used them. One in particular would be Moses. Okay? Moses was a murderer at one point. He was a murderer at one point. He didn't know who his real mom was, okay, because of the whole instance of being in the basket, you know. And he didn't really know who he was. He had left Egypt to be alone, to get away from everything, because he couldn't figure out who he was. And he was in trouble at the same time, which is a recipe for disaster. And so, if we go to Exodus chapter 3, starting at verse 1, it says, meanwhile, Moses was shepherding the flock of his father-in-law, Jethro, the priest of Midian. He led the flock to the far side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. Then the angel of the Lord appeared to him in the flame of a fire within a bush. As Moses looked, he saw that the bush was on fire, but not consumed. So Moses thought, I must go over there and look at the remarkable sight. Why isn't the bush burning up? When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called out to him from the bushes, Moses, Moses. Here I am, he answered. Do not come closer, he said. Remove the sandals from your feet, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. Then he continued, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. Then the Lord said, I have observed the misery of my people in Egypt and have heard them crying out because their oppressors. I know about their suffering, and I have come down to rescue them from the power of the Egyptians, to bring them from that land to a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the territory of the Canaanites, the Hethites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. So because the Israelites' cry for help has come to me, I have also seen the way that the Egyptians are oppressing them. Therefore, go, I am sending you to Pharaoh so that you may lead my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. But Moses asked God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the Israelites out of Egypt? He answered, I will certainly be with you, and this will be the sign to you that I am the one who sent you. When you bring the people out of Egypt, you will all worship and worship God at this mountain. Then Moses asked God, if I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, what is his name? What should I tell them? And God replied to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. So we're sitting here, we're looking at this, right? Moses got all these identity issues, and God calls upon Moses to go and do what? To rescue a whole bunch of his people? Moses didn't feel worthy. I know Moses didn't feel worthy, because he says right here, who am I to go and do that? So I'm going to close out, and I'm going to explain one little thing. In order, and I've kind of already said this, in order for us to know who we are, we've got to know who God is. Okay? God is so many different things. There are so many different ways that he is described in this book. Here's just a few. He's the creator. He's the first and the last. He always was. He always will. And he always will be. He's the keeper of power. He's the keeper of peace. He is the rock. He is the one who makes a way. He is a great physician. And many other things. And when we know who God is, when we know the truths of who God is, he will reveal to us our identity. So my challenge to the students, even the church, who is God to you? Do you know who God is to you? I even... When I wrote this, because I wrote this about 3 or 4 months ago, because it was for something for middle school, I even had to look at myself and go, okay, whoa. Maybe there's some things messed up in my own life. Because my view of God directly affects my identity. So band wants to come up. We're going to close out. I'm going to pray. Dear Lord, thank you for today. I thank you for everything that you've done for us, Lord. I thank you for the opportunity to get to have D-Now this weekend. I thank you for all of the help and just ways that you have guided all of us this weekend. I thank you for your presence, Lord. I thank you for just, you know, the overwhelming, you know, knowing that you were there, knowing that you were there to guide each and every one of us so that we could learn how to pursue you better. I just pray that we would know that we have to pursue you. I pray that we would know that we have to know who you are so that we can know our identity. I just I just want to pray again over the rest of this week. I pray for your safety as we have some colder, really cold weather rolling in. And I pray that you would just continue to work with us, that we wouldn't just leave this weekend and let our fire die down. I pray all this in your name. Amen.